We come with our hearts full of thanksgiving and appreciation. We thank you because you are God and you alone. Beside you, there is no other God. You are he who is from the beginning, and you are he is even unto the end. But from everlasting to everlasting, you remain God. You have created all things, and you rule and reign over all things. So we worship you and give you praise. We magnify your name, O Lord God. We appreciate, Lord, that you can come upon us in the way that you have. As we come before you, open our hearts unto you. And we join the angels in heaven, the 24 elders. We worship you. And we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. We exalt your name on high. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Holy are you, Lord. All creation, we call you God.
Mighty are your people, standing on We're standing over of your holy name. Lord,
have your way in the midst of your people and let your voice, Lord God, be heard. Let your glory come down, O Lord God. Let us all be quickened by the reason of your visitation that has come upon us, Lord God. For we can do nothing of ourselves, but you can do all things. So we rest in thee, O Lord God. And ask you just have your way this hour and be magnified in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Let the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. And we gather together. Each time we come before him, there's always blessings. And we cannot leave him the same we come to him. That is why we need to be glad always when we're getting together as a people unto our God. That is why the psalmist said, and I agree with him, and that's how I feel. He said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he realizes what comes forth when you come into the house of the Lord, because the presence of the Lord is there to bless, to quicken, to deliver, and to save. Praise the Lord. We bless God for the things that he has done, how far he's led us in this conference, and how he had blessed us and released graces and anointings and all manner of deliverance wrought, some we have not even realized. There are things the Lord did last night, and the course of today and tomorrow, there will be a manifestation of those things that the Lord did. Praise the Lord. You better believe it. Hallelujah. Right from Wednesday night, the Lord began to speak to us in diverse ways. And through various ministers that come forward, the Lord has been pointing on to certain directions and enlightening us and quickening us because of things that he has proposed to do and the things he's doing right now in our midst, in his church, and in his world. And as the Lord was quickening my heart to bring forth what I believe is abiding in his heart also, to buttress the things that have been coming unto us since we gathered here, I do believe the Lord will move us even further from where he stopped with us yesterday. That is a very definite call unto us to arise and to shine. And I just wonder, I don't know exactly if you ask me what the Lord is going to do, but I know the Lord is going to do something. Praise the Lord. I don't know how far the Lord would go, but I know the Lord would go far with us. Praise the Lord. And maybe we can just start by opening our Bibles into Isaiah chapter 60. Let's come from there and see what the Lord will do with us. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60. That's the theme of the conference. Just mention a few things there, and then we go up from there. Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Praise the Lord. It's a call. It's an injunction. It's also a command. It says, arise. Then after arising, it says, then shine. Praise the Lord. Why will you arise? Why will you shine? Now, if you look at that, there are two major things here. One is to arise. Second one is to shine.
And if I'm to paraphrase, try to translate that, I will say, the Lord is saying, get up, stir up, hallelujah. Come up from where you are right now. Come up and stand in your place, the place He, God, has ordained for you. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what it means when He says arise. It means come up, move from where you are presently. That's a place you ought to be, and that's not where you are. And you got to arise. That's an action that's required. Arising means that you have to get up from where you are. Rising means there's an upward movement. If you're sitting down to ask, rise, then that means you get up from where you are. But arising is far more than just standing up. It means move progressively to a higher place, a higher ground, praise the Lord. And when you get that place, then the second will follow, then you will shine. Don't just move from there. When you move, or you arise from the place you are, then you must shine. What he's saying, arise, get up from where you are, and then manifest. To shine means to manifest, to showcase. That's something to showcase. That's what it said. To shine for people to see. It means to excel. All right? To be on top, to overcome. All these are expressions explaining what it means to shine. And if we can understand this way, it'll be easier for us to know what the Lord is calling us to do. And what the Lord is quickening us and enabling us to do. Praise the Lord. He says, arise and shine. Why will you do that? What is the motivating factor? What is going to propel you to do that? Why will you do that? An understanding of something already has happened. He said, because your light has come. Praise the Lord. So you realize your light has come. God said, your light has come. And His glory has risen upon thee. In other words, because your light has come, the Lord released light upon you, and He brought His glory upon you. Because that has happened, you need now, on the strength of that, to arise. And when you arise, you manifest and shine. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and do what and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Arise and shine where? You know, if you look at the way it's arranged, arise and shine. From verse 2, we realize where you have been commanded or enjoined to arise and to shine is a place where, you know, environment where there is darkness. And that darkness was qualified as gross darkness, thick darkness. In other words, no art or light there, complete darkness. That's where God said you should arise and you should shine. Perhaps you are engulfed in that darkness and you feel, well, every other person is covered with darkness and you're there and you're part of them. And God reminded you that you're not the same with those people. Therefore, you need to arise and begin to shine that those in darkness will see light and come out of darkness and come to the light of the Lord. If you read down the verse of the chapter, that's the implication. Because the gentle those who dwell in darkness will come to the light that is shining forth through you. Praise the Lord. You're supposed to arise and shine in the midst of overwhelmed people who are overwhelmed with darkness. We're supposed to arise and shine within this morally decadent world. The society that's rotten. Where it looks as if nobody is different. Every person has come to a place that there's nothing good can come out of anybody. It becomes the other day, everybody flowing in. God said, in this situation, in this environment, in this society, that you ought to arise now and begin to shine. Praise the Lord. It says you arise and shine in the midst of trials and tribulations, temptations and armor of, you know, calamities that are around you. Within this place, in the midst of all this, He said, you should arise and you should still shine. Praise the Lord. Because the light of God is in you and upon you. And if you're following me concerning this environment, the place that God is commanding you, this place that is covered with darkness and gross darkness, where the people all recover with darkness, they cannot see, the blinded, they can see the light. And now I'll spare you the trouble going over again the things that have come forth before now. We know already the things happening around us. Clearly shows us, even unbelievers know that we're living the last days because the signs of the last days are here. But I seem to believe that Even unbelievers seem to be more worried than we are. Some unbelievers seem to know more that we're living in the last days. And many of us have become so complacent about it. Nobody talks anymore about, you know, the end of the age, what is happening, the terrifying, you know, truth about this time we're living in. God is saying, all this notwithstanding, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, reference was made to this yesterday, you agree with me that all those signs that are written there have all been fulfilled. I was sharing with some people who said, if you go to the sign in the scripture, you will realize all of those signs that are giving, the one that the Lord also gave, are the signs of the end of the age. Every single one has been fulfilled. The only thing I believe that has not been fulfilled, it says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness in all the nations that witness all the people. Then the end comes. Praise the Lord. But there's a release that is coming. And the woman's there. A release of such an anointing that will move men and women into all the nooks and corners of the earth to sound this gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel, so to say, that people will be hearing and preaching, but the true gospel of the kingdom will be preached. People will hear this gospel because the Bible said, as a witness. So nobody will say, I did not hear. Nobody say, I'm ignorant of what has been said. Everybody will hear the gospel. And the Lord says, this will be the sign that this will happen. Then shall the end come. Praise the Lord. And so this time the Lord wants to manifest his people. This is time that we need to really arise and begin to overcome the things that have weighed us down, the things that have held us bondage, the thing that has pulled us aside, the thing that has distracted us, the thing that has made us inactive. The call is for us to arise and overcome them. And the Lord has called us overcomers. Praise the Lord. And so what we're considering it this morning is overcoming and manifesting in the midst of these present challenges. That's in nutshell what we want to consider, trusting the Lord by His Spirit to bring understanding to us. So if you're looking for the topic, not very good at giving topics, but if you look for a topic, say overcoming and manifesting in the midst of present challenges. Praise the Lord. So the Lord said we are overcomers. And if you read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, just read that in a few scriptures. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. Here, John was addressing various categories of people within the church. And it's amazing that from verse 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abided in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Recently, the Lord quickened a burden in my heart and gave me instruction concerning the young ones, our youth, to have a time to cause them to have understanding of what the Lord had ordained for them and the place the Lord has, you know, apportion them in the things that he's doing in these last days. And one of the things he instructed me is to cause him to study and learn the principles of overcoming. Praise the Lord. And I know what he says to one, he says to all, not just a young man. And the Lord caused us to so far see so many things. I maybe mentioned some of them during the course of sharing this morning. Now, if you read through Revelations chapter 2 and 3, you know, the letters to the seven churches, you will notice that at the end in each of the letters, in any of each of the churches, you know, you know, saying, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, will I do this or that? So God has ordained that you overcome. You must have to overcome something for you to become an overcomer. And if God calls you an overcomer, what he says is speaking to you what the final picture is, what he sees you. No, God is he that calls things that be not as though they were. God is saying you're overcomers. Even if you see yourself far from being an overcomer, but he says you are an overcomer. And if you're an overcomer, it means that there's something or situations you must have overcome to become an overcomer. Praise the Lord. It means then, it suggests to us that God must make sure you overcome in order to earn that title, an overcomer. And how is God going to do it? God is going to raise situations and circumstances around you. God is going to allow certain things to come your way. He's going to allow some challenges come your way. And then he's going to move you and cause you to overcome, so that he can rightly call you an overcomer. And you can enter into that position of an overcomer, because you must have overcome something. Praise the Lord. So you can understand why certain things that are happening to you are happening to you. You can begin to have an idea why God allows certain things, why certain prayers seem to linger, why situations that seem to wear you down, you cry and it seems nothing is happening. God is only setting you up so that you can become a true overcomer. Praise the Lord. Now that word to overcome, as translated from the Greek word, the Greek word is nikao, and what it means is to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, and to get victory. So when it says you have to overcome, when it says that you have to subdue, you have to prevail over situations, circumstances around you, you have to prevail over the world, over the enemy, you have to conquer him, you have to subdue those situations, bring them under subjection. Hallelujah. You have to get the victory. So to overcome means to subdue, to prevail, and to get a victory. Why are you an overcomer, and why will you overcome? The scripture comes handy right now from 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. The scripture says here, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Verse 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, you will overcome because you are born of God. The Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, notice I say whatsoever. That means in your life as an individual, all that has to do with you, your business, your job, all that concern you, if they are born of God, if they emanate from God, if they are root from God, then they must overcome. Praise the Lord. So God has put some potential in us that in our overcoming, all that has to do with us, we have to overcome. And then he now came down to now specify concerning you and said, who is he that overcomes the world? First of all, he said, whatsoever. Now he said, who is he? It's not a contradiction. It's not a grammatical error. And he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord. God intends that we overcome, and he's made provisions for us to be able to overcome. So it's not something to begin to think and wonder how we're going to overcome. When he creates, sometimes he creates them. Others that come, he allows them, like earlier. And then he now causes us, because he is a person that really overcomes for us. And as we tap into the provisions he made for us, then we're able to overcome. That probably this is why he's telling us to arise and shine. Arise and overcome. Why? Because your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. In other words, God has enveloped you. So if you realize and come to terms with that, and then appropriate all the provisions made, then you'll be able to overcome. It's God that in you overcoming the world and the situations around you. Praise the Lord. It then means the ability to overcome is in you, but for you to overcome, you must be able to tap into that provision that God has made for you. And if you're not able to tap into that due to ignorance or whatsoever thing that stopped you, then you cannot overcome. And you cannot blame God or blame anybody. It's only that you're not able to get in the position the Lord has placed you. Because God wants to overcome so that you will be able to deliver others. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, that the entire creation, they are groaning, they are waiting impatiently now for revelation and manifestation of the sons of God. Those who are mature, those who have overcome and come to a state that they are able to now pull others, deliver others. Out of Zion, the Bible says, shall come what? Saviors, deliverers. Those who will now do the work that Christ has come to do. Those he had reproduced after himself to do the work that he did. And even greater work, he said, greater work than this you shall do. Because he goes to the place that he stands to bring reinforcement and to back us up to bring to pass the exploits that he ordained for us to bring to pass. That's why he says greater works than this one he did while on earth physically here. Because he's going to a position where he will be with us and supply us with all that we need. Greater anointing and power. Joining first with us so we can do greater works than he did. And you say, how is that possible? We're not able to do half of what he did. But that is the word of the Lord. And when the Lord speaks, better believe it because he knows what he's saying. He has made arrangement, put everything in place to bring to pass that word which I have spoken concerning you. Praise the Lord. Because there's power. Every word that the Lord speaks, say, no jot of the word of the Lord shall fall on the ground. Every word, unless God did not speak it, if it's God has spoken the word concerning you, concerning any man at all, that word will come to pass. You know why? Because God in that word is embedded power and authority. And all that will prepare that word and bring to pass, the force will not stop until that word comes to fulfillment. So if any word God has given to you, but I believe it, and then know that God is working to bring his word to pass. Praise the Lord. We were just singing yesterday that he is always by my side. Hallelujah. To bring his word to pass. So when he speaks a word to you, he's not speaking and goes away and says, well, you do what I like with it. He stands there with you to make sure that his word concerning you comes to pass. So better believe in it and arise from where you are. That place the enemy tells you that this word is not going to come to pass. Tell him that God is standing here to make sure that word comes to pass. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you feel that there's a child that is disobedient, that cannot do what I ask him to do. You say, sweep this thing. And you know the child will not speak. You stand there and watch. You stay there until he sweeps it. Praise the Lord. You're making sure that your instruction kind of. Now God follows his word and stands to make sure that that word come to pass. Praise the Lord. Loose us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God has a way he does his things. Hallelujah. If you read Romans chapter 8, verse 20, 27, we're going to read that. There's something I discovered there, and it's a lot of encouragement. So whatever you see now, God has orchestrated things to bring to pass his plans and purposes. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 20, Romans 8, 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that God himself subjected humanity to vanity for one purpose. He said in hope. God has a hope. Praise the Lord. There's a hope. That's the reason why he has subjected creation to vanity, including us. Why we, you know, the Bible says, if you go further and read Psalm 8 from verse 4 to 6, the Bible says there that God has made man a little lower than the angels. Praise the Lord. Have you considered why? And in Hebrews, Hebrews 10 said something about the Lord Jesus Christ, a pattern son. In Psalms chapter 8, it says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? And it's not a man that thou carest for him. So you have made him a little lower than the angels and made him have dominion over the works of your hand. God made us a little lower than an angel. And then he made us to have dominion over all the works of his hands. Why will he make us a little lower than angels? Why not we become like angels? Praise the Lord. It is because we have to overcome to become sons. Praise the Lord. So that the situation that comes our way, you see, there's still things that we struggle with, since conditions that come our way that angels don't know about. Praise the Lord. The angels don't struggle where we struggle. So they have it, you know, that way. But you know why? Because the angels cannot be sons. Praise the Lord. The part is that the Bible says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now he went through that to come to glory. Praise the Lord. And if we're following after him, we must go through the same way to come to glory. And the Bible says we will judge the angels. So if you want to be like angels, that's not the place God wants to be. God wants to become sons. And if you're a son, you're just your father. Praise the Lord. The angels are not given that privilege to be like God. They cannot be like God. But we are given the privilege to become like God because we are sons. And that way we are progressing to. With the things God is sending on our way that we overcome, as you overcome, you're rising up from one level of glory to another. Praise the Lord. And he has made provisions for us to move from this position of where we are subjected to vanity to rise up and grow to the position where we become sons of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Blessed be the name of the Lord forevermore. So I see this as things that will help us to begin to understand Western things are happening to us, and then it will change our attitude. Because what God wants to see when he allows us to come, to see our attitude, how we're going to respond to that disappointment, how we're going to respond or handle those situations around us, those delayed prayers, answer to prayers, those jobs that are yet to come, the husband you prayed for years, and others just prayed for a few months, and they got this. You also prayed for years, not coming. God wants to see how you're going to respond to it, how you're going to react to it, how you're going to handle it. And that is a process of overcoming. God wants to overcome even in that aspect. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So to shine, it's not just, you see, at times make a mistake. When you say arise and shine, yes, you arise and you shine. It's not just that way. You arise and through sufferings, you shine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I believe God wants us to really, really overcome. Because when we overcome, there's something that God keeps for us. There's a reward for overcoming. And so that will help us and encourage us to overcome. To apply the things that are given to us in order to overcome all the things that are standing before us. And some of the things that we need to overcome include overcoming the ancestral spirits. This spirit, these demon spirits that have held us bound, that has restricted us. Because of our background, it looks like we cannot really overcome these things. No matter how high we go, we still have a play for this ancestral spirit to play around us and to resist us in some cases. In some cases, just limit us. But the will of God is that we overcome them because that's the power and the grace that God is unto us to overcome. Until you know that, you will not be able to overcome, and God expects us to overcome them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we expect to overcome those ancestral spirit, overcome the world, and above all, overcome ourselves. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the hardest one. To overcome self. These are three areas, major areas that the Lord will expect us to overcome. And he puts situations in these areas to make sure that we overcome. So that we can become true overcomers. Praise the Lord. And the provision, for instance, the main weapons to overcome these things, or these areas, by giving the scriptures. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, it said, they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of Yeshua and by the word of their testimonies. And he didn't stop there. They were so bent on this that the Bible says they loved not their life, even unto death. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to be pushed up by the enemy. Even if I'm going to die, I'm going on. I must overcome. Praise the Lord. But as the blood of Yeshua and the word of testimonies. And one of the things the devil will try to do is destroy the testimonies. And when he brings to a place of compromise, he will cause to lose the testimony. So you cannot have full weapons to fight him. Praise the Lord. These two weapons from the arsenal of the Lord, the blood of Yeshua, principle, then the word of the testimonies, then be ready to fight to a finish and say, Satan is not over until it's over. You cry about the gate and fight until every enemy is finished. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, he said, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit right here on my right hand, just sit and relax until I make all your enemies your footstools. Praise the Lord. And how is he going to make his name a footstool? There are people he left right here on earth, you and I, going to use us to make the enemy a footstool. We are Jesus' what? We are the feet. We are his hand. So Satan must be underneath our feet. Praise the Lord. I always say, when you're praying, addressing the enemy, don't address him as if he's up there. He's underneath your feet. So address him there. Praise the Lord. At times, we exalt him more than that he is. We ascribe more power and authority to the enemy than he really has. Some of us believe the enemy, the devil is everywhere. He can do everything. He cannot. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not. He's a lie to make you feel he can be everywhere. No. Doesn't know everything about you. It's the one you open up to him that he knows. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The earlier you know that, the better for you. You can address demons. Little demons come and kick us around and we just, fall for it. The Lord wants to bring you to a place of overcoming. Where demons come, before they come around, they are frightened of you and they'll take off. You don't even need to speak a word. Praise the Lord. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That glory pushed them aside when they come near. They can't stand the light of God that is shining around you. So when you shine, the light that propels from you, that oozes of you, will send every demon packing. Praise the Lord. And that when the Lord is bringing us, not in the future, but now. Now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to learn. And one of the things we did, maybe I'll share a few of those things with you. Because we went into the scriptures, we're looking at Psalm 77. On Wednesday night, Rokola quoted that verse and, spoke on that and, we read part of that scripture. When he breathed, I just laughed my spirit and rejoiced. Praise the Lord. I say at times, many times, Rokola likes to preach part of my message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That shows the unity of the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah! Glory! So in Psalm 77, we're able to extract what I call the 10 principles of overcoming. Praise the Lord. Now, if you know what is locked into that psalm, that will just read like this and go away, you will not believe. It's all about David. David, the man after God's heart. The man who knows God. The man who had done exploits. The man who had communed with God. The man who has seen the victory that God wrought in his behalf. The man who has passed through all manner of things. The man who went to fight against the lion and had to, liberate the sheep from them. The man who have fought with bear. The man who fought with all manner of things. The man who fought with Goliath. This mighty man who knows God. He knows that God is always there for him. But in some sentences, he reveals certain things that will also touch us and make us to realize that we just like that. That experience he has here. I can't go into detail because that's not a focus now, but if you take time to read it, you realize there that David came to a point, if you realize that he was in a bad shape. He came to a point that, he was so devastated by the situations around him, by the things that were passing through, that he was knocked down to the floor. It was as if he forgot that God existed. He forgot all that God has done for him, all the exploit, everything vanished away. Have you found yourself in such positions where something happened, you just forget? And David began to cry. Now, one aspect that is very, very vital, just one verse there I want to read. There's something there in Psalm 77. Now, if you read, the psalm opened up this way, that I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now, verse 1 is the conclusion. What happened at the end of the day? And bless God for that. But if you read and discover that the things he passed through before he came to that conclusion, that testimony is given here. The testimony of overcoming grace that God wrought in his life. He was able to say at the end of the day, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Even with my voice, and he heard me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you cry unto God, God will hear. Hallelujah. But before he did that, he had goofed around a little bit. If you read down there. Now he said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He got a point that he refused to be comforted. David refused because the way he found himself, he refused to be comforted. Even the word of God, he didn't allow the word of God and what God has done and the experience of God to comfort him. He refused to be comforted. That is a very bad shape that he was in for him to degenerate to this point. And he says, I remembered God and was troubled. And what did David do? He said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. If I go into this psalm, I will overshoot. I'm not going away, but just note that. He said he complained. And as he complained, his heart was overwhelmed. Hallelujah. But you know, I love David for something. Some other part of the scripture he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock. Hallelujah. When your heart is overwhelmed, if you get to a position of your heart is overwhelmed, all you need to do is stop complaining. All you need to do, you know, ask the Lord, please lead me to the rock. Hallelujah. That is better than complaining. You can get into some other time, we can go into all this, but let me just tell you the things that came out from there. The same thing David did here that you should not try to do if you must overcome. And certain things he did here, finally, which we ought to do. When you're faced with situations and circumstances that seem to be so much weighing down on you. Praise the Lord. And so, if you look at there, his attitude, like I was saying earlier, go look to see how we'll react to situations that come our way as it bidding us to come to a place of an overcomer. Now, let me give you a few things from there. And then we'll go on to other things that Lord, you know, leading us to. But let me give you some of those, you know, what is extracted from that psalm, Psalm 77. Looking at what David did. Anything you hear, never or do not. Those are things that David did wrongly. Because it was in a situation that he just got lost. He was beaten flat on the floor. And he remained there, and in that position, he did all manner of things that he wouldn't have normally done. And I said, when you're faced with situations and challenges, never complain against God. You know what David did there? If you do so, you realize that something else he did. And I said, number two, do not focus on the trouble or the challenges. Now, when he started focusing on the problem, challenges, so many began to happen, began to doubt God. So take your mind on your eyes away from the challenge. Rather, let your focus be upon the Lord. The challenges will be taken care of. So do not focus on the trouble or the challenges. Number three, do not keep silence by the reason of being overwhelmed by the trouble or challenges. You see, he said, I kept silent. He couldn't talk. He said, I could not talk. He was beating and was overwhelmed by the problem and challenges in his life that he could not talk. He couldn't even pray. He couldn't shout. Never do that. Rather, when challenges come, shout, speak out to God. Speak out, confess, speak the word of the Lord to disperse that situation. Praise the Lord. Number four, never allow the enemy to bring you to see God as the initiator of your problems or challenges. Don't let me let you feel that it's God that is doing this to you. God doesn't like you, and that's why God has come to you. He's the cause of your problem. You know, I at the time I was wondering, you know, if it were us, I didn't know if it was me, whether I wouldn't be able to say the same thing. I don't know why I would have been able to say the things that Job said. Because I would have said, look, God, you know my strength. I was doing my business, carrying on what I was doing. I had no business. I wasn't there, you know, your discussion. And you went and told this man. You say, have you seen my son, Job? Have you seen this? And you instructed him. I wasn't there. You know, I had no part in it. I have not done anything wrong. I was different. And you went and, you know, like, you know, went to this kind of, instituted this war. And I'm person suffering. So why would you do this? I will complain. Praise the Lord. And that was the way they reasoned. His friends, his brethren, even his wife. But God helped Job to stand. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Never get a point it makes to feel that God is the cause of your problem. God is the person that brings this to you. It's God that's making you. It's God doesn't like you. Never get that point. Rather, what will you do? It got a point, quickly came to David, suddenly woke up from that slumber. And now remember, if you read that, he said, and I remember. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Spirit of God that helps us to remember. God sent help to him, and he remembered. So remember that what you will do, rather. Remember the years of God's right hand. Say, I remember the years of God's right hand. The right hand of God. The hand of deliverance. He remembers the things that God wrought in his life. Deliverances. And all the mighty God did. He began to remember them. And that brought some quickening. So remember the years of God's right hand and deliverance that he has wrought in the midst of your problems, your challenges. Also remember his works and his wonders. Like David finally remembered the past testimonies of overcoming or thing that God, you know, led you through and you came over it and through it. And then you now meditate. These are all from that chapter. Meditate and talk about God's works and wonders. Meditate on it and talk about it. Hallelujah. No one has said, O Lord, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy word powers. Praise the Lord. So meditate. Remember those things. Meditate on it and then and all the wonders has done. Talk about it. It has a way of lifting you up, knowing that he also is able to do that again. Number 8, meditate on what he has done before and what he is doing right now. Think about what the Lord said he's doing right now. There's something he's doing. Meditate upon what he's doing right now. Hallelujah. Then remember and know who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. If you can remember that and realize and remind yourself to yourself who you are, who God says you are in Christ Jesus and what you have in Christ Jesus, that's the steps that will help you overcome. Praise the Lord. And finally, know in your heart without any doubt that God will deliver you. Praise the Lord. In Exodus chapter 15, when they were faced with those situations, he said, the Lord will fight for you. Praise the Lord. So let it dawn on you, both in your conscious and subconsciousness, that the Lord, he will fight for you. If you remember that, then you know that, you know, you're as good as done. Praise the Lord. So those are some of the principles. If you can apply these principles in any challenge you're faced with, you will overcome that situation. Praise the Lord. I can't go into details of that now because that's not really the focus of this. Now, I'm back to the areas that we need to overcome. I say one of the major areas we need to overcome is overcome our sensual spirits. Why? We must have victory over them because they have disturbed us. They have limited us for a long time. And now God is saying it's a time to arise and put them in their place and begin to arise to where we ought to go. You know, the entire world is infested with demons. And they you know, get into people to express themselves. Praise the Lord. When people are walking in, you know, some gross anger, some demons are responsible, manifestations of those kind of situations. And you know, as sensual spirits, they're familiar spirits, that some of these things are things that, you know, that are passed down, that are within the family. And these are things that we need to overcome. And there are ways God has laid up for us to be able to overcome them if we can really, really yield ourselves under that. And if you look away from the world, you know, then you come down to Africa, is another story altogether. Every part of the world, demon spirits are operating. But if you come to Africa, some special kind of demons operate in Africa. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then we are Africans. And for those of us who are here, you can look at those from all your countries. We're Africans and we are Nigerians. There are some demons that are peculiar to Nigerians. Just as there are demons that are peculiar to Benin Republic or to Sierra Leone or to Liberia, you know, there are demons that are peculiar in the operations in the U.S., everywhere. Praise the Lord. So we find ourselves that this, we are born into these things. We didn't have a choice. But you have a choice what to do with the situation. Praise the Lord. You don't have a choice to have been born a Nigerian. You don't have a choice to have been born from a family within this Nigeria. Praise the Lord. That you're born an Igbo man, or an Hausa man, a Yoruba man. You didn't have any choice. But you have a choice to do something about the things that surround that situation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, somebody asked me sometime, say, where are you from? I said, because I find myself here, I'm a Nigerian. I live in Nigeria, but I'm not a Nigerian. Praise the Lord. Because my pedigree had changed. My ancestry had changed. So I'm neither an Igbo man or a Nigerian or an African. I come from Zion. I have the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I've been born again. If I'm born again, that means I no longer belong to the former. The Bible said the former things have passed away. Now all things have become new. The newness have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, where I originated from, or to the kingdom of light, a new place. So I must live according to the dictates of the new ancestor. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We must overcome the ancestral spirits that operate in our villages, in our homes, in our families. We must be able to identify them. To identify them, then you, by the help of the Lord God Almighty, will overcome them, sever every relationship with them, every link with them. Even after you are born again, they are there lingering, want to lay some claims. You need to stand up to tell them, you have no claim here. I have nothing in common with you anymore. And your actions also speak about that. You can say, look, I don't have anything to do with this thing. But in your actions, since you do, telling them that, look, I still belong. Praise the Lord. And they use that to claim. This is a spiritual principle. At the time, they have right, because of the things you're doing, to claim certain things from you. Praise the Lord. So we must come to a point. If they say that certain people, maybe your tribe, or maybe in your family, you notice that there's a trait there, which is a violent trait. You must strive to God and sever yourself from that and be set free from that. If you not, this spirit, this demon spirit, the essential spirit, familiar spirit, will continue to pass on from generation to generation. And for those of us who are married or going to get married, you must get away from it to save your children the trouble. If you don't, they're going to fight with that spirit. For those who are married, you have to deal with it right now so you don't have to fight against that anymore. After you got married, deliver your children. If we do not deal with these spirits and overcome them, we will not make much progress into the things God had ordained for us. Now, let's look at an example now from the scriptures. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 12, let me read something to you there. In Genesis chapter 12, there was a man that I believe God is going to show us an example how we can.